listening to The Wholeness Podcast with Melissa Catherine, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, guys, I have with us today Amanda Francis, and I'm literally going to like fangirl, but I love Amanda, and I've been a huge fan for like, and we've had like 3 degrees of separation between friends. So I was so excited when I got her new book and was able to get her on today's podcast. We're going to be talking about all the things, but first and foremost, I want to tell you about Amanda because I find her background to be fascinating. And what she's been able to do in such a short period of time and the mission that she's on is something that I find incredible, inspiring, and I'm so excited to share about along with her epic new book. But Amanda is a world-renowned thought leader on financial empowerment for women. But in truth, I just find her to be around empowerment for women in all facets of life because you can apply her teachings to business, to love, to weight, to everything and anything. And in the world of personal development, she is widely known as the Money Queen. We're going to talk about some of her photos. Also, like I said, she's got her new, I mean, honestly, she's in a bathtub. This beautiful lady right here in a bathtub filled with money. How much fun is that? And this is her book, Rich as Fuck. And she's written for Forbes, Business Insider, Success Magazine. She's on a mission to get the power of money into the hands of good-hearted women and men who are here to change the world. She combines her background in ministry, mental health counseling with practical business advice and deep knowledge of spiritual and energetic principles. And Amanda is incredible as a business coach, which we'll learn more about. She's a true self-made woman and multimillionaire. And in what, only is it like 10 years now, you have a 7-figure business that's going on 8. And didn't you do like 5 million last year?
Yeah, 5.2 in 2020. Yeah. Okay. And it'll be my 10-year anniversary is in March of this year.
Okay. So in 10 years, she went from nothing to 5.2. And it's through the principles that she teaches in this book and in all of her courses. But most of all, I love that you're just an advocate for like, I did it. I'm bringing you with me on this journey and showing everybody how to do the same. So I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's so great.
Yeah, I'm like, welcome. So like I said, I'm going to fangirl on you because I did your money mentality makeover. I've done a ton of your courses actually. And I was just telling you guys, I was just telling Amanda before I started, you know, I've been in business for, a little under 10 years. And, I was saying that I really wish that I would have found Amanda when I was first starting. So you had this ability to stay true to yourself and listen to your voice from the beginning, which is something that in the coaching world, I find so many have a, just in the business world and entrepreneur and being an entrepreneur, and especially in the world of social media, get confused on or really get caught up in personal judgment, the comparison game, and losing sight of their own voice and vision while listening to a coach that they're investing money with. How did you stay in your own lane and stay connected to your vision?
I didn't listen to a lot of people. I didn't listen to people. I didn't hire many coaches. I didn't have many mentors. I ignored most people's opinions like adamantly. And especially if they were contradictory to what I felt inside, I don't know. You got to realize that no one doing anything in the world is any smarter than you. Like they aren't more special. They aren't more intelligent. They just decided to do it. And then they kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it, didn't give up. And that's, I would say like maybe like the main difference. And of course we all have different advantages and disadvantages and the world is not even. And like, I think it's important to take all of that into account. And I think the biggest thing at the end of the day is really like just the perseverance, the listening to your inner voice and the showing up day after day. Like when you said 10 years was not a, like 10 years is so fast. To me, 10 years is like a very long time. Like it took forever. Like I want to do a lot every month, every day, every year, especially a decade, you know?
Well, it's funny because I always say, oh, she was a 10-year like overnight success because people are like, where did that person come from? And then you look at it.
Or a 35-year, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, like every day of my life, I was kind of getting ready to do the things I do now, you know?
So I want to ask you, I love that you combine so much about, okay, I'll just say it. You make it really simple. You break it down. You make it simple. You get people grounded. And most of all, what I love is you let people know like that they have it in them to create anything and to remove all those limitations. And one of the things when I found you, so as a wholeness coach and weight loss expert, one of the things that I really work on is helping people get connected back into their body, building that relationship with their body so that they never have to diet again and use it as its own like guidance system. And then you really end up releasing weight effortlessly. I remember when I found you, I'm like, oh my God, she does this with money, what I teach with food and weight. And it was really, really interesting, but it also brought me to go, wait a minute, why is it? And I would love to know this for you when it comes to mastering money and these other areas of your life. And I really consider you to be a master at manifestation in general. Why is it that you see that people will have success in so many areas of their life, but there's one that they'll be working on? Like it will either be love or it'll be weight or it will be money, but that they can really, really be super successful, especially women in these areas. And then there's that one where it's like, wait a minute, they've mastered one. What would you say to that? Or what did you find with that in your own experience?
I just think there's an area where a few things. I think there's an area where we're less intuitive. It makes less natural sense to us. And because of that, we get into a story of like, I just don't get it. It just doesn't work for me. I'm trying all the things everyone says, but it's not working out. We kind of create like a cycle of like, I'm fucked up when it comes to, or it's just hard for me because I am a, you know, because I'm a woman, because I'm that. And we just like perpetuate these ideas that it's hard for us in this area and we can't get ahead. And we like, then we just reinforce it all the live long day. And then we create more situations to back it up. You know, we all have like that confirmation bias inside us where we're looking for on the outside of us what we already know to be true on the inside of us. And we do it all day long. And then we go like, look, it's so true. I'm bad at love. I dated another unavailable guy when in truth, you're unavailable to your own self. And like, you know, it's just, we just create it, reinforce it, perpetuate it, tell stories about it and pass those down.
It's so true. No, it's like hysterical because I would sit there and I wasn't planning on diving right into this right away, but I'm going to, now that we're here. You know, one of the things that I would hear you talk about, which would be love, and you really shared openly, like, you know, love is something that I want and I'm bringing this in. And I wanted to ask you, did you have any fears in opening that up and putting that out there in the space of like, well, what if that doesn't happen? I've now shared it with all of these people. Did that ever come to you as you were in your process?
No, it wasn't that I was going to claim that I could do it and then not do it or something. I was sure that in the end, I would have the love I want. In the end, I just didn't know why the journey was hard or the journey was slow or why I couldn't get everything I knew about money and business and online marketing and branding and everything I'm self-taught at, but have been fabulous and successful at. Why I couldn't get it to like work in this other area. Cause like you just said, everything I do is energetic and spiritual principles more than it's just strategic marketing or budgeting or financial planning. You know, it's all spiritual and energetic. Yeah. And I felt like I was applying all of that to love and it wasn't working. So it wasn't ever that I didn't think it would eventually work, but there was just a lot of like despair and like inner wounding and like victimhoodiness. Yeah. Like stuff I would never play around with in money. I would never fuck with any of those energies when it comes to money, but I would, oh, P.S. Can I say fuck on LA Talk Radio?
Yes, you
okay,
can.
Great.
You do all of it.
I would never mess with any of that with business or money. I know better, but with love, I was I had more stuff to like deeper layers of stuff to heal that I didn't even know how to get to until I did. Does that make sense?
So did you? Yeah, it absolutely does. Because I think that that's something that I have women contact me about often. And I can tell you the same in my world where people are like, well, like, how do you not? And I'm like, okay, I don't know. There's this, like, there is that like gap there. And I did notice that there was, for me, in terms of like love, that there was a story that I was buying into that I didn't have until it really got like placed on me. And it was like, oh, something must be wrong with you. Cause everybody else. And then I was like, is something wrong with me? Right.
Yeah. I really did think there was something wrong with me and that I was fucked up when it came to love, which like now sitting in my relationship and in my life and in my family, it's so funny. It's like, there's no such thing as being fucked up with love. There is no such thing. You're a human being and I'm a human being. And like, I see you and you see me and we see each other well. And we know what we want inside of our dynamic as the man and woman in this relationship, creating life together. And like, there's no way to be fucked up at it. You know what I mean? Like we all have fucked up things inside of ourselves that show up to heal. That's part of life. But like, we are all made for love. But I also believe we're all made for abundance and money. But I've been shouting from the rooftops the abundance and money piece for, like we said, you know, nearly a decade.
Yeah.
And the love piece, I felt like I just must be fucking it up over and over and over and over again, you know?
Yeah, I do. So I want to ask you, what were the principles that, because, okay, so guys, everybody, Amanda's in this like epic relationship and it's so amazing and I'm so happy for you and you're so deserving of it. And I love that you're just like, yeah, I'm looking now, like, why did I ever doubt that? So I want to ask you, let's like, in terms of money and manifestation and a lot of these spiritual principles that you apply, that I know some people are like, you can't just think money and then it comes in. And I'm like,
yeah,
I love the way like Amanda operates on all of this and clearly it works. So what did, in terms of that, let's just take, because I know a lot of people, whether it's money, love, the body, going into 2021, coming off of COVID, you know, there's a lot of fear around and there's a lot of, I think there's just a lot of that. I don't personally like to buy into any of that, but it is a consciousness that I know is around. And there's that.
There's a lot in the collective right now, like a lot of fear and nervousness and lots of different energies.
Exactly. So for those that are listening and they're like, I want this to be my year, like I'm ready. What would you say for that whole, where, you know, for instance, they say where we place our focus, our energy goes and grows. Totally. And did you ever find that in your quest for love, for instance,
because,
you know, that you placed an emphasis there? Did you find that it created any resistance to its coming or actually perpetuated the very thing that you didn't want happening?
Yes and no. As long as my energy was, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working, then I continued to create, it's not working, which is what people often do in money and business. So what finally changed with love was like, I want to say probably a year ago, I was journaling and I was like, okay, God, how are we going to do this for real? Like we've been talking about it forever, but how are we going to do it for real? Like I'm ready.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like channeling, downloading, riffing some steps in my journal. And I really need to go find that now. Because I referenced it, you know, over the past year, but I haven't looked at it in a while. But I remember the main thing that was put on my heart that day was kind of like, let love be the thing. Like you let money be the thing. You let business be the thing. You let it be the focus. You intentionally focused like, and sorry, I'm getting notifications, but I should have turned off. But like I intentionally every day looked at what stories and ideas and memories and history tell me I can't have the business I want. What tells me I can't have the abundance I want? What tells me I can't like close this gap of wealth in my life? What tells me I can't go from like lower middle class girl from Oklahoma till today? I don't know what class to call myself, but like, I don't know, multimillionaire class in Beverly Hills. Like it didn't seem possible. Little girl from Sand Springs, Oklahoma, like lower middle class family, like very modest town, like did not seem possible. So I had to daily look at everything inside of me that said, not possible, not the thing, you can't have it. I had to disprove all those stories. I had to create new narratives, new stories, new beliefs around myself, new identities. I had to kind of embody a new belief system, thought process, energy. I had to be and act and behave in the world. as someone who could have what she desired. And it was like, I fucking focused on it every day for years, you know, years, like way before the business, through going to college, through putting myself through grad school on student loans. I mean, I was definitely always choosing like neighborhoods and friend groups and restaurants and gyms and everything, like based on where I wanted to go and who I wanted to become and what I wanted to believe was possible. And I just thought love was just supposed to happen. Like I was willing to work on business and money, and it was like, but so someone funny. Should that just love me. You because you're lovable and they'll just love you. And like, yeah. I just thought it should just happen. And so when it didn't just happen and it kept just not happening and different love coaches and people had, you know, and I love everyone I've worked with, but they had their own beliefs around how to make love happen. And none of them fully like resonated with me. Like I understood pieces of how everyone believed, but no one's process really like got me there. I was like fucking over it for a really long time.
Well, I love that. First off, I love that you're just so open and honest about it. And I think that that's, you know, what I'm hearing you say so much is that you turned it over and really saw like, okay, like much like when you decided to create, you know, your money course and put it together. Like, I remember I heard you and you're like, yeah, there were like four people when I first did
four it. People. I know. Now it's like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Each enrollment class. And it was like four, the very first one. Yeah.
But I have to tell you, like, what I love that you did is like, one, you always say you showed up. And even when I watch your videos, I'm like, I can see you processing everything you're saying. It's like the video's for you and you're going mm-hmm. like through it and you're sharing it in the moment. So like everyone's going off of the energy, riding the whole wave with you and experience. And it's really powerful. And I think that's what people feel. And that's why your work can hit people on so many levels, no matter where they are. And mm-hmm. you just keep evolving and sharing. And then it like does its thing.
Yeah. And I think it was like wise without knowing how wise it was going to be.
It was really wise.
Yeah. Like I recorded the first three modules of Money Mentality Makeover when I was working on my first five-figure month. So I wasn't making $10,000 a month yet, you know, and that's what I was moving toward. And that's what I was focusing on. And I think I broke it down so simply and beautifully based on where I was at and what I was doing. And then every year for all these years, I've added another module and more bonuses. Now I think it has like 7 or 8 modules and like 22 hours of bonuses. And now, so like the most recent module I recorded on is making like $450,000 a month, which is a lot different than $10,000 a month. But I love that it's all in there. You know what I mean? Because I can't speak to the first five-figure month now like I could then. And when I taught it to four people in my soul, I was teaching it to thousands. And now I am teaching it to thousands, you know, like when I was teaching it to four, I knew I was keeping the recordings. You know what I mean? I knew module one was going to be module one forever. I just knew it. And like, I don't know anyone else who kind of does online education the way I've done it and did it. But I'm like really thankful that I had some of the instincts I had, because it created beautiful programs, you know, that have carried a lot of people through healing relationships and trauma and history with money.
No, it's amazing. And I mean, I shared with you guys, you know, you can apply the same principles. What I love, like, again, as somebody that's like, I've invested like hundreds of thousands in coaches and like, you know, so many are like, do it my way or like, and that way you make money. And like, there's nothing wrong. Everyone has a place. It's not about like, but what I love that you teach is really getting connected to yourself and really trusting in your intuitive guidance. And that's something that I believe in. That guidance is what will guide you to your happiest and most unique way of creation.
100%.
And you're like, you're still doing that. And now you're speaking to, so what is the difference between being rich and being wealthy?
To me, I began to feel rich-ish, like pretty rich when there was a lot of cash happening. Like when I was very like cash flow positive, I could buy anything I wanted. I could spend any way I wanted. Maybe I had a little bit of debt, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Like I felt kind of rich. I felt like money was kind of disposable and I was doing pretty good. Wealthy was a whole different thing. I began to feel wealthy when like the excess, like the the more than enough, the overflow, like the more I began with, the more that I know what to do with kind of vibe. Like when I began to move into that energy, it was like, okay, I'm paying everything off every month. I'm still like obviously very cash positive, but I pay it all off. The debt's always gone. Hundreds of thousands of dollars going to savings every month. That money in savings adds up. Then I buy another property. Like it felt, it's just a whole different way of playing. And the rich was fucking fun. And the learning how to like allow myself to receive and have and spend money was cool. But then the allowing myself how to like keep and use and invest money was better. But they were both parts of the journey, you know?
Yeah. I'm like it all. Like I love it all.
It's all good. We're not mad at the spending and the receiving. That part had to come first, you know?
So I want to know, can you explain, and you do it great. Like I love the way you talk about it in your book, but there's a lot of people that do have, I mean, obviously you work with them, and you know, that are going to buy your book and like really have scarcity around money. What is your relationship with money? How would you describe it?
It's just, it's like a real relationship. And I think that's the part we don't remember. Like you wouldn't expect to ignore a spouse and not communicate with a partner or a boss or a sister or a friend and have a thriving relationship, right? Like we wouldn't ignore the thing. So I think with money, it feels like a co-creative flow of like, I trust money and money trusts me. And like, I understand that money has no mind of its own. Money is reacting to me, and me and the energy of money are creating together. And I know this might be very woo-woo for people who have never heard anything like this before, but just like stay with me. So it feels like money can trust me to handle my shit. Like money can trust me to trust myself. Like money can trust me to do good with my money. And I can trust myself to do all the same. And I can trust money to show up in proportion to what I'm available for, meaning what I'm available for to me means what I can't imagine having less than and what I can't imagine having more than. And I think the thing that most people don't have awareness around or haven't allowed themselves to look is how like responsible they've been for all of it all along. Not to say that we all, you know, were born into the same situation with the same opportunity, but to say we took a lot of like what our parents said and what we saw around us and we saw in our neighborhood and our communities and our town, and we formed beliefs around how money worked for us and people like us and how things would be. And we just didn't ever realize like how our standards continue to reinforce things. And I can tell you, I've done this with a lot of different amounts of money, but today sitting here right now, I don't ever make less than my energetic minimum, my below minimum. Like I can't imagine making less than. I never make less than that, but I also make I never make more than the amount I can't imagine making more than. And we all have that all day long. There's a point you can't imagine your savings account getting lower than, even if it's a negative number. And there's a point you can't imagine your savings account getting above, no matter what that is. And like, I have intentionally, very purposefully, like over and over again, increase those amounts so that I can't imagine having less than a much higher number. And I can't imagine having more than like, and just like increase it over time. So it's kind of like an energetic decision. And yeah, I think I explain this all really well in my book, but it starts with like the thoughts I think and the emotions those thoughts create within me and the vibrations and energy that creates within me. And that turns into what you embody. And that turns into how you be and how you vibrate without trying. And all of this is happening all the time. And you know it's happening because everyone listening has some area of their life where they have some pretty solid standards. Or maybe your indication is that you don't have solid standards. But like, think of your friends who are always treated well by men. And think of your friends who are always treated badly by men. And we all know it's their standards. But you can think of people who always are treated well in their workplace and people who are always treated poorly in their workplace all day long. We just have these standards going on for other people, for ourselves, for our family. We have the standards, we have the boundaries, and like we just don't realize that we created it all and that we can continue to create it all just way more intentionally than we knew to before.
Okay, I love this. So I want to ask you, when you saw yourself in the beginning and you know you didn't come from, you know, a wealthy family. Like you had to create all of this and you were like, I know I'm meant for big things. I know I want to create wealth. I want to change this for myself. How much time did you spend aligning each day? And was it something where you would spend like hours each day, or, you know, was it like for those that are sitting here, like, okay, I really want to shift my relationship with money. But they do have those broken belief systems. Obviously you have tons of programs about this in your book, but just to give an insider view, what are the things that you initially did? And how did you get yourself out of the lack of belief so that you just kept stepping into it and stepping into it? Because you had mentioned earlier, you know, that you really owned it and you put yourself, like you had mentioned, putting yourself in the places like the restaurants, the gyms, the things of that nature.
Yeah, yeah.
What were some other things that you did to align, and how much time did you spend?
Not probably really as much time as someone would think. So, I mean, because I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that I needed to shift how, like, I lived and how I beed, for lack of a better word, how I was, yeah, how I behaved, how I whatever. Like, I kind of tried a lot of things. It was like, well, you know, people say to, like, do yoga, and people say to, like, green juice a lot. And I tried all the weird wellness stuff that, like, the women were touting. Like, I didn't fucking, yeah, know what to do. But I would say what really ended up happening is I figured out, like, how I can create an internal shift in me that helps me to feel better and see things more positively. And that could be a lot of things for a lot of people. Like, some people have all their inspired ideas, shifty moments on workouts. Other people, like, there's plenty of people online saying that money just...
Yeah,
it can be during a fucking orgasm. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But, like, you have to know, like, what you need. So what I found out for me, and then once you know what it feels like to shift, you can start to apply it to a lot of things. So for me, I can always shift in my journal. I can write these basic questions and kind of see what's up. I can be like, Amanda, what do you really want? What beliefs tell you you can't have that? Are those beliefs ultimately true? No, they are never true. Okay, what could be more true instead? What would you rather create? What do you want to have now? And, like, those, it's only four questions. I did them this morning, but I remember doing those four questions in a coffee shop, you know, like in 2012 or something, when my business was a baby. And it ended up being like a huge piece of the process I've walked thousands of clients through, and the money course and a million other things. But, like, so for me, I know what it feels like to do all of that, recognize what I want, tell myself the truth about what I want, look at the lies, limiting beliefs, the stories. And this, sometimes that process can take hours when someone's new at it, but then, yeah, later it takes like 10 seconds when you're practiced at it. Anyway, but realize that all that stuff is lies, and identify what I want to have instead. So when you identify what you want to have instead, how you want things to be instead, and how you would like life to go for you instead, which seems like an audacious statement, but, like, it's true. We do have that much power, you know? So once you do that, your job is to kind of feel what it would feel like to already have it, to bring that feeling and that energy into your body. So it can feel a lot of different ways, but for me, it feels something like, if I say to myself, if I say these words to myself, I can create the feelings of, like, I'm a fucking wealthy woman. Everything is working out for me. I always have more than I know what to do with. Money comes and money comes and money comes and money comes. And there is always extra money. There is always more than enough. I always make at least X every single month. I always make at least X every single day. And I'm growing and I'm growing and I'm growing and I'm thriving and I'm thriving and I'm thriving. And I can, like, build myself up into a place where I very much feel like I'm energetically buzzing, and I know I am creating the thing. But not everyone does it with words, and not everyone does it with journaling. And that's okay. Like, so much law of attraction, the secret stuff is all the visualization. And I can't visualize for shit. I can't close my eyes and see anything. My interior designer doesn't even understand what I'm saying. I'm like, no, I can't see it. Like, I can't see it. So,
so I'm a total visual. So, like,
I can't see fucking anything. That's great for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But once you know, if you can see something and it helps you to feel differently inside and you feel that shift, once you know what the shift feels like, then you might shift on your daily walk. You might shift. You
so
might
you just
practice shifting,
practicing to get the into shift. That yeah. shift. Because mm-hmm. a lot of what you say, and I so believe in this. I mean, I've had this in my own experience. In you know, honestly, like overcoming cancer, like it was like a deciding. Like I'm like, no, that there's that does not allow. There is no existence of that in my world. Like,
done. Yeah,
and it was like gone. You know, like they couldn't find it. And I've seen that in so many areas of my life where I'm like, I've decided I'm going to create a fit identity. I decided that I'm done with the weight and the food stuff. Like I'm decided. What do you think is the power that comes with that? Like, do you think, you know, like I think everyone's had that experience, and for everyone listening, like thinking of something where you just made a decision and then the thing that you wanted to happen was like there like that.
Yeah, or things started to change or move or rearrange or happened quickly. Yeah, sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow, but it's very possible for it to happen quickly, for sure. Sorry, what was the question?
Yeah, I know. As I just said that, I'm like, where was my question? Oh, I think my question was, is that when you always talk about deciding, is that what you really consider to that shift in your system where you're just like, no, I've decided that this is no longer how I'm going to operate in the world in this way?
Yes. And I think our energetic decisions are very powerful. I think we can decide that we're going to experience a new thing, and I think we can create it. And I'd be lying if I didn't say there weren't a million things that I had to decide over and over again. Like love, I had to redecide and redecide and redecide and redecide and redecide and redecide. And then when I was ready, which you probably need to circle back to so we can tell people how I actually did it.
I'm like, that's exactly like my next question. I'm like, I have it in the book.
Let's circle back to love.
I have things highlighted. Yeah. Okay, so finish that and then we're going back to love.
Yeah. So with love, I redecided and redecided and redecided and redecided. And then eventually I was ready and it was time. And there was literally no realm of possibility where it wasn't going to happen. And this other person was ready too. And it was just, it was what it was. It feels like now it was what it was always going to be. But I'm pretty convinced if I didn't do the things I did, we both would have ended up taking different paths. You know what I mean? Like I can sit in the relationship right now and say like, you were always going to be my person. Of course. And I feel that way about my business. This is always going to be my business. But I can also see the very real things I did that positioned me for it. And had I not positioned myself, I think he and I would have found different people at different times, you know? So yeah. Okay. So I think we're really always creating our fate in that way. Okay. So here's what I did.
Wait, I want to ask you one thing. This is love related. And then we're good. I heard you say, and I know people are probably like, let her speak, Melissa. I heard you say that I think it was on your podcast. She has an epic podcast too. Robert Downey Jr., that you got guided to JFK.
It was JFK Jr. Yeah.
So you got guided to watch his videos.
Yeah. He was my archetype.
Like, yeah. Right. And you just found yourself like sitting at home watching.
And watching all of them, every documentary that was ever made about him, all of them at home alone in Malibu.
Oh my God.
Living my best life. Yeah.
Yeah. Living your best life. I love this. Okay. So it again goes back to the power of our intuitive guidance. And I want everybody to hear this because then she met somebody who looks like him, who people say.
Yeah, he looks so much like JFK Jr. It's wild.
And he does.
And he's been told that his whole life, right? So it's very weird. So yeah, okay. So
speaks to intention and like how it guides you in ways that won't make sense. But Amanda listens. Like you're a yes to them, even when they're like, just.
Yeah. I'll take really weird intuitive hits. Like, yeah, I'll go with it. So I was like, I can't remember exactly how it happened. It was like, I was at home and I was like having a hard time believing that the man was out there because I had never met or seen a man that I would want to marry. Out of all the guys I had dated, a couple had wanted to marry me. I didn't want to marry any of them. Zero. So I was like, God, we need to like see someone who I'd want to marry. Next thing I know, I didn't even barely know who JFK was. JFK Jr. was. Didn't he die? He either died before I was born or when I was very young.
I know.
He died when I was like 13. I think I looked it up. I was like in seventh grade. The point is I didn't know who it was. And the next thing I know, I'm watching a documentary on Netflix and the one on Hulu and then all the ones on Amazon Prime. There were a few. I was going crazy. But what happened was I saw someone who I thought that would be the right kind of guy for me. I like the way he conducts himself and carries himself, his values, what he's about, who he is in the world. I like that. So I made a collage on my phone, you know, the old vision board, a collage of JFK Jr. and his wife, Carolyn Bessette, and I was just like, okay, here we go, JFK. And so it wasn't very long after that that I met my man. That is true. But we got together and it was like we weren't ready and we pushed each other away in dumb ways, and like it didn't come together. So what I would say happened when we got back together and stayed together, the things I did for myself that I think allowed love to come in personally for me, and this might be the things for some people, or of course you might have your own things, or you might have variations of some of these things. But I had a long history of unavailable men, emotionally unavailable men. That's how I would have described them. Unavailable, aloof, never there, never consistent, never showing up, blah, blah, blah. And I did the thing women do where I told the story of, he's just not la, la, la. Like if he valued me and he knew what I was, he would just be here and he'd be worshiping me. And it's like, we say that if men just knew our value, then this and this and this would happen. And then the like dating coaches say, if you know your own value, then this and this and this will happen. But as long as you're just pissed off that someone doesn't know your value, or you're saying, or you're going like, but it's because I don't know my own value, and you're still in despair, it's not really getting you anywhere. So like, you know what I mean? Like I could go off on all day on how I'm valuable, or I could try to get myself to believe I'm more valuable, but neither were doing anything. You know what I mean? It wasn't moving me at all. And finally, what I was eventually led to do when I got really, really, really fucking ready was, it was a few things. One, I felt like I was dumping buckets of love and forgiveness on every man I had ever known. Like, major forgiving and releasing, major letting people off the hook, like major, I hold no one responsible for anything. Like you are all off the hook, like huge release, like from my core, very meaningfully. That was one part.
And was that just like an energetic, or was that you reaching out or writing letters or
for me personally, I didn't reach out to anyone, but I could see that being a part of some people's process. For me, it was all between me and me. I didn't need to talk to anyone. Not that different exes haven't reached out at different times to do that reconcile thing, but that wasn't really part of this for me. So I felt like I was forgiving the shit out of everyone, letting everyone off the hook, just letting it go, and energetically being clean inside of myself, wanting nothing but the best, nothing but the best, like pure love toward anyone I had loved. So that was big. Yeah. Another thing that I think was huge for me that might not be the thing for everyone, but it was the thing for me, was becoming very emotionally available to myself. Now, I thought I was emotionally available to myself. I mean, I have a master's in counseling. I was a therapist. I've been through therapy. Like I've
and
had coaches. I've had love coaches.
Of time like with you and like aligning, connecting.
So I very much feel like I can process. I felt like I could process my emotions all day long and process my emotions very well. But when it came down to it, and I decided to go on this journey or whatever, what I called it was getting close to my own heart. I'm like, I haven't felt a man be close to my heart in a long, long time. Let's see how close to my own heart I am. And so what that looked like was every twinge of like, and thinking back, this was actually before the forgiveness piece in the order that they happened. But every like twinge of resentment or anger or fear or pain or abandonment that came up inside of me in relation to love or parents or family or anything, anything that came up within me, I stopped everything and I just like fucking cried. I just cried and I journaled and I released. I told myself the truth about how angry or upset or abandoned or fearful or whatever I was. I emoted how unfair shit was. Like I just got to the core of all of it. And I think being such a personal development person, I didn't know that I was bypassing the deepest level of that, because I'd worked on it all over years. Like I said, in therapy, here, there, whatever, like I didn't know there was another deep layer. And knowing how life works, there could be more deep layers I haven't gotten to yet. Right. But so there was a lot of crying and journaling. Cause like I said, I can get a lot of clarity in my journal, crying and journaling and releasing and just getting to the core of deep wounded pain and then holding and loving myself through it. Like there was literally, it's very weird, I think, but there was a lot of like literally hugging myself.
No, I teach this.
I would kiss my arms.
I teach people to wake up and hug themselves and say, I love you. I really, really love you. Like,
yes, I hug myself
all the time.
I did it constantly. So I kept hugging myself. I kept kissing my arms. I kept looking in the mirror and saying, I love you so much. So I like was just creating a lot of love within me. I was very much tending to and nurturing the wounded part of me. And here's what I think women do, or what we think is going to happen. We think we're going to meet a man. They're going to fall for us right away before we've given them any reason to. Other, like, I mean, yes, like you might be smart and pretty and successful and this and that, but that's not like a reason. Men tend to fall for who they connect with, who they feel like sees them and accepts them and loves them at their core, right? Like, the thing I wasn't doing in dating, this would be another tip for me, is I wasn't showing up on dates as a soul willing to get to know another soul. I was trying to get all men to check boxes of whether they were good enough for me and then either dismiss or approve of them, right? So how does that feel? Even if I acted like I was there having fun, internally, we were just checking boxes, right? So when I
dropped... Did you become a yes to like most men that started to approach you, or were you still very discerning on like...
Nope, like I got with everyone for that period of time. So it looked like me crying a lot and hugging myself. A lot of like bubble baths and walks with myself and laying in bed watching movies, which I've never done. I'm a very productive overachiever person. So like laying, I mean, when I say a lot, I maybe did it like 3 or 4 times, but I had never done that in the middle of the day before. So yeah. So between my baths and my walks and enjoying food and enjoying my life. And this was in the middle of like pandemic, major pandemic. So like, okay. I would just like take walks and meet my neighbors. And like, I was just in this kind of like wholesome self-love vibey place. And I was going on dates a lot. I was saying yes to a lot of people because I had never had a lack of dates and I never had a lack of quality dates. That wasn't my personal problem. I was willing to let someone take me out, but I started going on dates with a different energy. It was like, I'm going to have the best time no matter what, because I am in love with me while I sit here. You can wine and dine me if you want. I'm just going to get to know you more. Do whatever you want. I'm just going to get to know you.
Yeah.
And I was just having the best fucking time. So then when my ex...
So you weren't in a place of like, am I attracted to you? Am I not? You were just like, I'm a yes.
No. I was like, just whatever. And I had always gone on a lot of dates. And I had maybe gone on what some people might say, like too many dates or not picking enough dates. Or I don't know. For me at that point, it didn't matter. It was like, can I just love myself hard through anything? And like, of course, if a date would have been bad or disrespectful or inappropriate, I would have left or something. It wasn't like I didn't have any boundaries. It was just like, I was willing to go have fun. Yeah. So I'm loving the shit out of myself. The daily or multiple times a day crying wounded sessions are like dwindling. Like I'm needing less of that, but I knew how to hold myself. I think a lot of women accidentally dump their shit on a man. Like men show up and we're like, oh, I really like you. Let's see if you can really hold space for me. And they start dumping shit. I just did, like, I held myself to the point that even if I was telling my now partner something very serious, I was like holding myself through it. I didn't need anyone to fix me, anyone to save me. I didn't need anything like that. It was like, I had me. So I had me and I could nurture me and I could love me. And I could just, so when he came back into my life, it was nothing besides wanting to re-get to know him and see him and love him and accept him at the soul level, no matter what happened between us. And it took all the pressure off him, which I didn't know I had been putting pressure on the men that I wanted something to happen with, but it took all the pressure off him. It put me in a place where I was like energetically very clean and clear. I would have love no matter what. I don't need you to do anything for me. I'm good. And also from that place, I would say a lot of men really started to want to show up and take me, you know, in a lot of ways.
Well, because
with no dumping, no need for approval, no need to not be abandoned.
Well, don't you think, I mean, when it comes down to it, I think...
Uh-oh, did you freeze?
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, hold on. I'm going to just swipe this corner. 1 second. Uh-oh. I'm going to turn off my Wi-Fi. Sorry. Ooh. Okay. Uh-oh. Okay, how are we now?
I don't see you.
Okay, that's not good.
Do you see me?
No, but I see me.
No, we just see Team Amanda.
It got really staticky for a second. I turned off my Wi-Fi now, so that should stop.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So what I was going to say is it's like, I think, you know, men are, I find, more energetic than women, and they pick up on that. And I think they feel the energy of like, I want you to fix me. I want you to be this for me. I want you to be that for me. And instead of, I think they're really attracted to like the lightness, the freedom, and to the confidence and to the whole woman. That's like, I'm looking for you to enhance me. I don't need you to complete me.
Totally.
That's the energy that you brought.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't even need you. I was just like, I don't even need you to do fucking anything. The thing is, when I stopped needing a man to do anything, to check any boxes, but just focused on getting to know them, then after the date, you can decide if you want to go out with them again, you know? But as long as I was sitting on the date, deciding they were unworthy, what kind of energy is that creating between me and the person, you know?
Yep. Yeah. No, it's so true. And I remember there was, I think maybe it was on your podcast. It was somewhere I heard you. And you said like, oh, I had to even, like you gave an example of even sending a selfie. And you even cleared your energy before you sent it of like, am I expecting a response? Like, am I sending this just from a space of I want to send him a cute photo of me? Or am I sending this because I need to get a reply from him that...
Right.
And you really took time to like center. And I think like overall for everybody listening, whether it's money, love, anything else, you know, like Amanda, what you've done like so beautifully, and I really just want to like applaud you on that's, I just think many know that there's those layers or know that there's that sadness or anger or frustration, but they don't want to take the time to go to those places. And then it perpetuates and they just kind of take a stab at it here and there when they feel like there's that overarching, like, I don't have time for the breakdown. I don't have time to hold myself. Like, I don't have time to go to those places. Like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So what guidance would you give if for those that are like, I'm ready for love, like I'm ready to change my money game. Is it like, take the time, like just commit to the journaling, commit to.
Yeah. I think what we have to realize is that it gets like, there's going to be deep work when you're first digging into a new level of something, but then from there it becomes maintenance. So there was a chunk of time where looking at my money stories and my stuff was probably taking like a chunk of time. Like, I don't know, when I was really up against a belief, a limiting belief, or really up against a, like a goal, maybe it was like a couple hours a day, like an hour or two. And, but then when you're in maintenance mode, it's just more like you're kind of the observer of your own thoughts, your beliefs and your energies all the time. You're kind of observing and you're making little shifts and it's just maintenance. And every once in a while, there's a big session of really digging into something, but it's not all the time anymore. So, but I wouldn't even put that much pressure on someone if they were trying to say change love and money and they were just starting. I would say like, you know, 90 seconds a day can change your life. Can you like spend just a few concentrated chunks of time believing that something else is possible for you to the point that you can feel a different energy in your body, that you can feel a different shift, that you can feel a heightened awareness of opportunities, of abundance, of infinite love, of whatever it is. And it might be meditation. It might, whatever gives you that fucking warm, fuzzy feeling that tells you you can have the thing.
All
you
about
know?
The feeling.
It really is.
I swear. It's like, you'd say the words, but like feeling it is like, it's that shift. Okay. So, unfortunately we have to wrap up, but you have, and I even have quotes of your book here, guys. You have to get this book.
Okay. Please. Do you like one or two favorites? How many minutes do we have?
Okay.
Do one favorite quote and we'll be real
first
fast.
Off, I love, okay, I'm just going to go here. I love all the journal prompts. I love the bonus section in the back. I like that you bring people to where you are, but you said every day of my life, I experienced some, I like that you kept it real. Like some of these, like, I mean, you said them already, but it was like every day of my life, I experienced some sort of unhelpful thought or feeling about money. And every day my mind thinks something fearful or doubt based, I choose not to make these things my truth. And I think it's so simple, but the simple things get overlooked. And so many make those their truth. They make those stories their beliefs, and those beliefs compound and just perpetuate over decades.
Yeah.
And then,
'cause So all I would say about that just briefly is, for me, what I've realized is every reality is available. Every reality is available. And there's a reality available right now for me that says, like, money's going down and going down and going down and going down and it's all falling apart and you've already peaked. That's the best you can do. Like, that reality is available, but so is the reality that I'm just getting started. And I think once we, like, are willing to, like, look at our thoughts as just potential possible realities that we can either create or not create, all the outcomes are available, then we can choose more intentionally, you know?
Guys, I cannot sing your praises enough. I absolutely. So I wanted to ask you, okay. And then even when you just said, just like, what if excess and extra were standard instead of just being enough or not quite enough? Like, yeah. The way you rephrase, and Amanda does such a beautiful job. You know, she talks about her journal prompts, but her journal prompts are part of all of her programs. And if you struggle sometimes to get inside your own mind or know, well, what, like, you know, I often get asked, like, I'm sitting with my journal, I don't even know what to ask myself because there is that disconnection from self. Her journal prompts are so powerful.
Yeah. So they tell you, they teach you how to dig deep. Like, because journaling is my thing, I know what questions to ask to get someone there. And I phrase all the questions very intentionally. So yes, when you read the book, do your journal prompts.
Do the journal prompts. And guys, you have to get this. Okay, you can get it on Amazon. I highly recommend getting the book because you're going to want to highlight. And that's my own. But it's available on Kindle and then on
Barnes & Noble, Kobo, iBooks. And it was just processed through a publisher called Ingram today. Like, it's self-published,
but
we used Ingram.
That's what I heard on your launch party. Yeah.
Yeah. It finally has been processed and approved on Ingram. So it's going to start showing up all over the place. Yeah. So wherever you buy books, go search for it. And if you can't find it, know that it will continue to always be on Amazon.
I love that I had like 20 more questions about publishing and your book. And that's okay.
Okay, we'll do a part two. We'll do a part two.
We're going to do a part two. But love was a must. But guys, definitely get this book. All of the links are below. And then you have your Money Mentality Makeover. Again, this is like your most, I think your like most coveted program. But if you had to share your top three programs that are like your personal favorites out of everything you've done. I know that you're probably like seriously asking me this right now.
But I would pick Business Basics Bootcamp for anyone who's just like starting a business, particularly an online business who just doesn't even know where to start. I make it so simple. I would pick Aligned as Fuck for anyone who just wants like an expansion vibe in any area, business, money, even love. We talk about a bit in that program. That's just an expansion vibe. And then I would pick Money Mentality Makeover for money, obviously, but Money Mentality Makeover is a pretty big program. So if someone needed to just start their journey of creating a better, healthier relationship with money and healing their past with money and learning to attract and receive more money, I would do Drop the Motherfucking Money Struggle Bundle. All are available at AmandaFrances.com.
And the links are below. Okay. And then my last two questions. What would you tell your 10-year-old self that you wish you'd known then that you know now?
Oh, 10. So it's like fourth grade.
I always pick 10 because it's that point when we, as women or as young girls, you actually start to be outside of your body and create self-judgments and an awareness around oneself. So it's like when you're cultivating that sense of being.
I would say something like, I don't know if you fully realized it yet, but you're a bit like different. You're a bit different and like unique and odd. And it's going to be so in your favor. Like, I would just tell myself that the best things I could do for myself, trust my desires, stop doing the things I don't want to do, pursue the things I love and am naturally interested in. And let it evolve. Cause I did end up doing that over and over and over again, but I did it with a lot of struggle and self-doubt and uncertainty. Cause I just had never seen someone do what they wanted based on desire alone and create success with it. I was thinking I was crazy when I kept doing it, you know?
Yeah. And you've kept doing it and it's epic and I love it. And that's, I honestly believe how everyone should be operating. And what if we actually all did just fire like actually follow our own unique desires and just create it from there and allow that to be. I just think it would be an epic, especially for women in this collective. And my last question, what does wholeness mean to you?
Oh, wholeness. I guess wholeness to me is like a completeness and a certainty in every area that like we're enough, you know, that we're like doing the right thing, that we're figuring it out, that we're getting there as we go, you know, like progress over perfection, that like we are the truth is that we are whole and nothing can take away from that truth. And then the act of stepping into the wholeness more and more every day is kind of the whole point of life.
It's the whole point. Hence my brand's called Wholeness. Like, absolutely. Oh my God. I love you. Thank you for your time, guys.
Thank you.
Definitely go and get this book. The Waitlist for Money Mentality Makeover is there. She does an awesome launch party when you purchase. So you get an extra bonus training.
Yeah. When you go grab the book, it's called Rich as Fuck, just in case we haven't said that. When you grab the Rich as Fuck book, go to AmandaFrancis.com. Yeah, go to AmandaFrancis.com/rich-af, and you can sign up for a free virtual book launch party with the money meditation and me riffing about money and other good content for free.
She gives amazing good content. It's worth it just to go there. Okay, thank you so much, guys. Links are below. Go get your book, get on the launch party. Money Mentality Makeover is opening soon, and check out all of her courses. Again, links are below. Amanda, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun.
This was so fun.
All right, part two. Honey. Okay, bye.
Part two. So happening. Loved it all. Okay.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to The Wholeness Podcast with Melissa Catherine, only on LA Talk Radio.